We're very thankful this afternoon to be back with each and every person on the call. We especially want to thank those who served with me, the brothers who served so far in the services, and we want to welcome those who may be visiting with us, not members of the Church of Christ, your very honored guests. We pray you obey God by being baptized for the remission of your sins today, so we have everlasting eternally too late, that the Lord may add you to his church, the only church you ever read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. And those who are on the call who may be members of the Church of Christ visiting from other congregations, we welcome you too as our very honored guests. This afternoon, for a few minutes, we're continuing our study of the book of Ephesians. And going into Ephesians chapter 5, now verse 1. And the title of this lesson, Be Therefore Followers of God. Verse 1, that's what Paul says, Be ye therefore followers of God. Now, how do we follow God? That word followers meaning imitators. He comes right out of chapter 4. He had just said in verse 32, And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Then verse 1, he said, Be ye therefore, because of what I just said about Christ and God, you need to imitate that. That word literally means imitators of God, followers of God. Now, how do we follow God? He wants to follow him as dual children. So as dual children of God, we are to follow or imitate God, that we too may present ourselves to others as imitators or children of God. Verse 2, and if followers of God will be imitators of God, they'll be his dual children. And then verse 2 says, these followers will walk in love. And walk in love as Christ has also loved us, has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor. Now, and walk in love, so the followers of God will imitate him as forgiving others that God forgave them for Christ's sake. Now, he said they will walk in love. That means they will imitate God's love for me, him, for mankind, and for others. And love for self, love for God, love for others. Love God, love others. You'll love your neighbor even as yourself. Those who love God can walk in love. As, here's how you walk, as Christ also loved us. And giving himself for us, and offering it a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior. Now, the offering and sacrifice in the Jewish temple, they did offerings which were not sacrificed. But Christ gave himself as an offering, and he was sacrificed. Let me say it again. They did, in their way of worship, they were offerings that were not sacrifices. But Christ gave his life as an offering, and he was the sacrifice. Now, so that's something we need to really pay attention to, that Christ did something that we need to understand, that it was a great sacrifice that he made, you know, offering himself a sacrifice to God. And the Hebrew writer says it like this, Hebrew chapter 10, verse 5, he says, wherefore, when he coming into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering, he was not, but a body that has been prepared. So his body was sacrificed. Hebrews 10:8. The Hebrew writer said that when he says sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and an offering for sin, that wouldest not neither have pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse number 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So what did he offer his body? He made a sacrifice, gave his life. And what did that turn out to be? A sweet-smelling savor. An expression, offering, this offering was grateful to God. In Genesis 8:21, the Bible says, And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. So God came at the sacrifice that was made, and he came back and says, what you sacrificed, what they were offering was a change of life back then. And now, in the case with Jesus, he offered his body as a sacrifice for us. And so here it is. This expression of sweet smell and savor was to God something of a grateful, an offering that was grateful to God. Paul said, for we, in 2 Corinthians 2:15, we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them to save and in them to perish. So Christ was offered up to God, and we are him, that sweet smell of savor when we obey him. And so we prevent perishing because we have responded to that offering that was made on our behalf. That's what Jesus Christ gave his life for. So followers of Christ, followers of God, rather, are people who can forgive. They walk in love. They do it just like Christ did. So they're followers of God. Now, verse 3, followers of God. But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. So he's saying, Paul says now, this fornication is a common sin that we find male and female engaging in sexual intercourse, but this is a common sin among them and it's a common sin among us. And Paul's saying now, followers of God avoid fornication. Romans 1:29, when he was talking about then the sins then, in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, he said they will feel all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispering. All that went into the things that God considered those who are pursuing evil, reprobated minds, is continuing in evil, continuing in sin. Fornication is one of the sins. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, what followers of God would do would be flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. So in this 1 Corinthians chapter 7, to avoid fornication, then Paul says, get your wife and get your husband. So followers of Christ will have a wife or a husband versus engaging in fornication. And then the next thing he said, followers of God will not participate in all uncleanness, impurity of life. So these are things that are sinful life living, uncleanness. Again, Romans chapter 1, if you go there and read that whole chapter, I'm just going to get verses from it, but he was talking about people who were leaving God, who was engaging in sinful activities. Paul said in Romans 1:24, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Notice here is the uncleanness. He says, for the lust, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. These were homosexual activities and things like that going on, a lot of fornication going on, but it's called uncleanness and impurity of life. Now, Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, and uncleanness. He lists all of them right there. So in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, followers of God would not be given in to the lust of the flesh as their teen growth. Now remember, we had talked about in chapter 4 the importance of growing as a Christian. How it's important that we do the things, everything God put in for us in the church is to get us to live this kind of life. That's what we're really talking about, is how do Christians live after they become Christians? They ought to grow from babes to mature Christians, and then they start putting out, like last week, they start putting off bitterness and anger. They're not engaging in those things. See, now if you're still there and you've been in the church a long time, you're still managing, trying to manage your anger, then there's a problem with your growth process. If you still are going through these things, you're living this kind of unclean life, fornicating and covetousness, are you really trying to follow Christ? Are you living a lie? See, Paul says this is something that followers of Christ mortify. They put it away. In Ephesians, in Colossians chapter 3, he said it like this in verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And it says fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. So there they are listed again. Paul said mortify. Last week he said, put this away. And he said, be angry. Sin like, no. He said, put away anger. And he's doing this. So this is a Christian that's growing. you are growing now. You got to put away fornication. I mean, a follower of God are not engaged in fornication, unclean lives, or covetousness. They're not out there chasing this. They're covetous of what man have, what he don't have, what someone have. Covetous man, according to Paul, is to be ranked with those idolaters, Ephesians chapter 5. They're right there in the same rank. Well, he says in chapter 5, verse 5, for this you know, that no homeowner, no unclean person, no covetous person, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. We see that. Look at that. So covetousness, uncleanness. Then he goes on and says, let it not be once named among who? Followers of God. Followers of God, imitators of God. He said, this should not exist in their lives. They are growth past this. And so Paul is talking about Christian growth here. And these as become the saints, as befits the character of Christians. And the character of Christians look much like what he's talking about. They're living the life that's pleasing to God. Why? They're imitating, they're followers of God. Followers of God. Now, verse 4. Followers of God, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving the thing. Filthiness. This is obscene, indecent conversation. And then you can tell by a person when he talks about it, that the filthy language that they use, foolish talking they use, that doesn't imitate or represent a child of God. I've been around people who are Christians, and they say, oops, I'm sorry, I slipped. No, it didn't slip. That's the way you talk. It didn't slip. I mean, you have not. You still have a habitual way of talking filthy or having a foolish conversation. It means that Christians should aim to have a sensible, serious, sincere conversation. It's not always the case. You got to participate in foolish talk. As followers of God, we don't participate in foolish conversation. Neither do we engage in them and repeat or respond to someone that is talking foolish talk. Remember the words of the Lord, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:36. You got to be careful what you say, how you say it. I've heard some foolish talks from people who've been in church a long time. Stuff you say, you cannot mean what you just said. You know, well, you're not imitating God. You're not followers of God. Then he said, more jesting. This word occurs in the New Testament. Nowhere else. In the New Testament, but it means well turned or to turn. Just then, that is to turn something humor into wit and turn it back to something that is just that has no benefit to those you're talking to. It's turned around. It's not any benefit to the person. It will not benefit or edify anyone. So this is the word here, jesting. People just. Because we call it sarcasm, saying something that has no really meaning. Yeah. So that's important that we understand that our language, basically what he's saying, followers of God, and when they're growing as Christians, they're conducting their language to be a language that will imitate, that will be a follower of God's words coming out of their mouth, not obscene, not indecent conversations. Not gesturing, not foolish talking like somebody who don't have any sense. Christians maintain and control their conversations. And I talked about that last week. And you get to the point when you get so angry or you go come out and lash out and start using words that I lost my Christianity, I lost my religion. You didn't lose it. You weren't trying to live it. And when you're trying to live it, you understand you think before you speak. And when you're growing as a Christian, you learn to be slow to speak. So you're starting to grow, and this is what we're talking about, Christian living. This whole chapter has been about Christian living. Typically, we teach Ephesians as an evangelistic lesson, but the lesson I'm teaching is about what Paul is saying here. He's telling them, these are the things that we should see in those who are so-called themselves saints or Christians. Yeah. He said, now look what else he said in that verse there. He says, that neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. but rather giving of thanks. It's not convenient, meaning it has no benefit. It has no fit, no proper fit in the character of a person who say they are a Christian, the followers of Christ. This will not be seen in their lives. Christians should be serious, grave, though cheerful and pleasant. Doesn't mean you got to be boring and unhappy. That's not what he's talking about. He said, but you take serious the conversation you're having with others. That's important. That we do that. The purpose of winning a lost soul, of bringing glory to God through our life, through our conversation. But rather giving a thanks to God, or praises are more becoming a Christian than jesting and joking and asking, talking foolishly. Sometimes we just don't give good advice, but we give foolish advice versus, you know, giving God thanks. And we go look at everything going on. We get all caught up in conversation with other people about what should be done in this world, what shouldn't be done, rather than giving God thanks. Now, you know, when something's going bad in the world, well, thank God we still serve a good God. I know there may be school shootings, all this other stuff, but there are times, there are things that we can turn the conversation back to. We still serve a good God. We have to go along with foolish conversations about things that are going on in the world. Much of that happens during political conversations. I advise Christians, it's best for us, some of you all need to stay away from political conversations, because you lose your thought process. You get too caught up in that stuff. You need to be giving God thanks and praying for the president. You may hate the president. That's a form of sin, you know that? You're supposed to pray for it. Don't talk foolishly with other people about no political individual. No, every soul is important. It doesn't matter how much you disagree with what the politics are. That's a soul. And you are to be able to pray for them. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's kind of foolish talk you hear Christians get so caught up in that stuff. They start talking like they are part of it. Yeah, I know. I mean, you know who you are. You know the ones I'm talking to. Yeah, you're one of them. That's right. Look in the mirror. You know I'm talking to you. And you see people when they get with their friends and things, you see all these other behaviors come out. You know, followers of God, you don't change colors when you get around your friends. They change another color when you're around a Christian. No. God, seeing all of this stuff. Verse 5. But this you know. This you know. And you still come up followers of God, that no whoremongers, be assured of this, that followers of God are not whoremongers. Be sure, know this, that no follower of God is unclean people, unclean person. No one corrupt or continue living a continuous life filled with sin. I mean, this is not talking about people who are sinful. I mean, just falling into the lust of the flesh or the pride of life. You know, so we all sinful. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people who are continuing to pursue a sinful, corrupt life. The Bible says in Revelation 22:15, for without a dog, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth it, make it a lie. Look it right down to the line. A continuation. Unclean person stays in the area with the dogs and sorcerers, all that. That living, that life means is like Paul going back to once he'd been clean and going back and getting stinking mud. Followers of God continue to keep themselves cleansed by the blood of Jesus. They're not covetous. They're not chasing the dollar. Money don't control them. They don't put God off on every Sunday so I get more money. Followers of God are true to him, to in a relationship with him. To worship money, that's real idolatry, as to worship a block of a stone or a statue, like we talked about this morning. And many people today, many people in the Christian, many people in the church, so-called Christian, put God first. When you look at your budget, when you look at, or don't put God first, they put the money first. Look at, and you test this one. Where is God at in your budget? Test this one. Is he the last one to get paid? Or is he the first one? He said, Brother Brooks, God know my heart, and I got to pay my bills, I got to pay my light bill, I got to pay my car, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. He also know that he's the last one you think about. See, if you thought right, God will be the first person. This is what I teach new converts. This is what I teach brand new Christians who are coming into the fold, want to be Christian, or want to get married. First thing I teach them, who are you putting first? When you set your budget up, who do you put first in the budget? Well, covetous people don't put God first. They're chasing that dollar. So you test that one. Where is he at? You test it. You're going to make sure that car don't get paid. You're going to make sure that house don't get paid. You're going to make sure that them light bills get paid. But God, that's going to move around every Sunday. I'll give him, what I kind of feel like that Sunday. So why wouldn't you just budget it? Why wouldn't you put it in there? I'm going to give the Lord. And then if you're thinking like a follower of God, God cannot give you. He gives to you every day your breath, your health, your strength. He gives you your job. He gives you your children. He gives you life. He gives you that job. You didn't just get that job. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Followers of God will do that. Well, Paul says, when they have no inheritance, such people shall not inherit. You won't make it to heaven. Right? When you get serious about trying to go to heaven, you start trying to get some of this stuff out, get it right in your life. You don't just go along continuing saying, that's just the way I am. But no, that's not gonna get you to heaven now. Followers of God. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Follow the God, don't go along stuff that don't make no sense. Because of these things coming around to God. You go along with vain stuff and stuff that don't have no meaning to it as it pertains to your salvation. You see people fussing and fighting over all kinds of stuff. It ain't got nothing to do with salvation. But Paul said in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. These vain words, you got to know truth. If you want to speak to me, speak the words of truth. Because these are things coming to wrath of God upon who? The children of disobedience. The children of disobedience, these are people who are contentious. They don't want to obey the truth. They don't want to obey unrighteous. They don't obey unrighteous, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Romans 2:8. These are the people. These are not followers of God. Followers of God are not like that. And then he said, the following God, verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers when followers of God don't partake in the things we just listed. As a disobedient, we're obedient to him. That's what we do. These things please God and expose him to him. Yeah. Yeah. So we as children of God, we walk as Christ. And we follow the image of God. And we portray that. Don't be partakers with others who are not. I mean, remove yourself from crowds that would cause your character, integrity, your way of living to be spoken evil of, that you're part of that. Protect yourself. For you were sometimes darkness, Paul says. Paul says followers of Christ need to remember, followers of God, I mean, you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the word of the Lord. That's the way it should be. Remember, that's chapter 4, we looked at the old man and the new man, and he did a compare and contrast to those two people. So the new man now walk in the light of the Lord. How do they walk? As children of the light. Who are these people? Followers of God. They walk in the light as he's in the light. They maintain fellowship with him as children of God. We got to remember in time past we came out of the world. We've come out of the world. We're not living in darkness. We've been born again. These remind Gentiles that this is where you used to be. You were alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strange from the covenants of promise. You had no hope. You were without God. But now, you're in the light. You obey the gospel light. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And when the God is the word that blinded their mind, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine on them, 2 Corinthians 4:3. So the light is shining. Once you obey the gospel, you start walking as children of light. As children followers of God, Christians, they're known as. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit tells us of what the Christian's character should look like. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, when one is following the Holy Spirit, we say, but the fruit of the Spirit, notice, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us, there is no law. Well, these are all the things that God, that are in keeping with the Lord. Now, don't say, all this is what the Spirit guides us to live. So the fruit of the Spirit guides the follower of God. He followed him in all goodness, producing all kinds of goodness. Yeah. Proving what is acceptable on the Lord, verse 10. Proving that what's important to the follower of God is to prove what's acceptable to God through the living of their life. Showing what is acceptable through living their life. That's what Paul said in verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're the light in the world. Walk as children of light. So your walk speaks. Your walk proves that you are following God and prove to others this is what's acceptable enough. That's how we, that's the example we leave for others. How many of you can say you are a follower of God? You're proving through your lifestyle that you are a child of God. Verse number 11. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Followers of God do not fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul said there to the Corinthians, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? But what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I would dwell in them, walk in them, I would be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out among them, he said. Be ye separate, said the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I receive you, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and my children, my daughters. That's what Paul said in chapter 5, verse 1. Followers of God, the imitators of God, as children. Imitators of God, followers of God, as children of God. So our fellowship, who we associate with, changes. We'll associate with unfruitful works of darkness, people in the world. These unfruitful works are deeds of darkness. Has no benefit to the body and the soul. The word unfruitful is used in contrast with the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 5:9, he said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. What he said there in verse 9. Then unfruitful is just opposite that. It's unfruitful in the works of the devil, in a sense. But rather reprove them by your life, by your conversation, by your influence. We reprove them as Christians. This is the life of the follower of God. Their life should be standing a rebuke against sinful world. A sinful world, like I was talking about this morning. Like, we don't just go along to get along with the things people try to take us to stand on. We got to stand on what we know is right. Our standing on what's right is when we rebuke what is sinful through our life. We're reproving them. That we're always ready to stand with truth. You know, I was talking about that this morning. We talked a lot about that. I talked a lot about that, how we got the world's wanting us to go along with all this stuff and what's going on. And I'm like, defund the police, against all this stuff going on in church, and everybody's wrong in the world, and every race, all that kind of stuff. Talking like that. Christians and followers of God don't understand. This life has to do, you got to stand up what's right. Now, I was talking about how I got a ticket. Somebody asked me, told me that I could get some help. Like, that ticket wouldn't be on. I forgot to tell y'all when I said that this morning. What the police officer told me when he came back to me, he said, I'm just going to give you a warning. And I also, he said, we appreciate you, Mr. Brooks. I mean, he went from, he was always nice, but at the end he called me Mr. Brooks. And then he gave me a warning, told me to have a good day. We started talking about that place. And I said, man, I drive through here. I said, yeah, we just start patrolling this area. But my character and my behavior didn't prompt him to pull no gun to kill me. What he done, I respected him. And he gave me respect back. And then he called me Mr. Brooks. So I want y'all to know I didn't get no ticket. But I did break the law. Because I was speeding a little bit. And I shouldn't have been. And I asked God to forgive me. Thank God you're a Christian. If you catch yourself speeding, you can ask God to forgive you. You ain't got to call the church and ask. That's what happened. You ain't paying attention. Anyway, I got up there. I wanted to set the record straight on there. I didn't get no ticket. I should have told y'all that this morning. But if you were listening this morning, what I was pointing out was when we live as followers of God, God will bless your life and your life and your conversation and your influence to reprove what's wrong. The wrong things or the simple things going on around us. Let's go to verse 12. Let's get near closer. But he said, it is a shame even to speak to those things which are done be in the secret. For it is a shame even to speak. Paul said, Paul, you know, you don't want to. It's a shame, Paul is talking about. Things that are done, to speak about things that are done in secret, things that you think you done got away with. Some of it's a shame even to speak about. Why? They're not, it's not becoming of a Christian, not becoming of one who's a child of God, who's a follower of God. Verse 13, by all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. All things are reproved. The word here used, prove means demonstrated or convicted. And so, but it seems here that he said all things that are reproved are made manifest, made known by the light. So the light is the word of God. The light brings things to light. The light, God is light. And when you see the gospel is light, it enables us to see the true nature of actions or things that are done in darkness or like objects. But when you go to the word of God, then you go into the light. And the light then points out this stuff. It's made manifest. Things that approve the Bible will make it known that it's wrong. It's not something that we should do. Light identifies what's in darkness, which is basically you're saying that the devil represents darkness, God represents light. And God makes known through his word these things that we need to know that are against what the followers of God, how they would live, how they would talk, how they would control their anger, how they would, man, here's the other thing, it's just really important, I want to say this, you have to be an honest person, because the word of God is kind of like a sword, and it cuts, and if you take the word of God, and you really come and define yourself, it's going to point out to you every time, things that you need to change. It would bring that what's in darkness to light. And when you receive it with meekness, it's able to search to save your soul. Light illuminates. It brings it to your attention. But there are some people, you don't come to worship to learn or to get what you can get about yourself out of service. You want to get what you can get to make you feel better about God. See, some of this, but Christian growth is not something you should feel good about. You should be pricked in your conscience. Like, man, you know, that's me. I know I got an anger problem. Oh, that's me. I know I got this. I do some foolish talking. And I know I often sometimes I lose my temper and I say things I shouldn't say as a Christian. Huh? Well, the word of God is making known to you. And you got to take that and apply it. You can't just keep listening to this and it's identifying and you're making no changes. You should have seen yourself growing while you're following God. Wherefore he said, wake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee life. You know, it's pretty simple. You got to wake up. Some people say, well, I smell the coffee. Wake up. You need to focus. Get your attention on what's meaningful as a Christian. Get your attention and get out of this dead state of mind, like you don't know what's going on. But it's important that you awake like a child that's in the bed sleeping while in the house is burning. So at some point, you got to wake them up, and they got to get up, and they got to run out. And some people got to wake up to what you're living, how you're living, and get out of that situation. Wake out of your sleep. Don't act like you're okay knowing you ain't all right, knowing you have temper problems, knowing you have giving problems, knowing you have attendance problems, knowing you have relationship problems, knowing you living in sin and it's continuous and willful, knowing you're doing things that you know you need to change. And every time somebody mentions, it hits your mind like, I hate to hear that because I know that's me. Yeah, but you're going to wake up. You can die like that. That's the problem. Rise from the dead, Paul said. Christ shall give thee life. Christ has the answers. Why? You're following God as Jesus Christ. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fool, but as wise. So Paul said, walk carefully, circumspectly, carefully, anxiously, lest you pay attention, unless you will fall into this sin and live there like a fool. See then you know these things. If you know these things, don't deny these things. Identify your areas that you need to live right, the areas of improvement in your life, and those are the things you got to be diligent on, circumspectly, thinking about, I know this could cause me to lose my soul, and I got to change it. And I'm going to tell you something else, I believe, that we say a lot of times and give us a reason not to change, is, yeah, I'm praying about it. No, I'm praying about it. What do you mean you're praying about it? Pray for me that I make this change. Well, is it that we need to pray for you, or you need to repent? No, you need to change based on knowing it's right to change. It's something you already know you need to. Now you wanted to pray for you that you do what you know you need to do. Really, you're continuing in sin. That's all you're doing. You're walking as a fool, not as someone wise. Why? People in the world live like that. Christians move into the realm of wisdom. And he said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Remember, take advantage of everything God redeemed, like to purchase and buy up possessions. But here's what he's really saying, to redeem the time. Remember, take advantage of the life God has given you and the breath you're breathing. Evil. Days are evil. We know that. You know what? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. But he was made a curse for us. But God, the Bible said, cursed is every man that hanging on the tree. Galatians 3:13. What are you saying? See, you got to redeem the time. By this redeem, take advantage of the time that God gives you, that you're still living. Live the life as followers of God. The days are evil. The times in which we live are evil. I said that two Sundays in a row. Everything we see going on in this world, you all, much of it is just evil. And the Bible tells us it's going to get worse and worse. And the way we make a difference is by being followers of God and starting to live the life that will reprove and stand for what's right, moral, and good. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not fools in how you deal with time and how you deal with your life. Show your true wisdom. Understand the will of the Lord and do what you know is the will of the Lord. And then in verse 18 to 21, we'll close with that. Be not drunk with wine. Father God, not drunk with wine, we're in excess. My son, see that brother, you tell me I can drink. At the time, they were drinking it for medicine. They don't tell you to drink the wine for medicine today. You're drinking it because you want to get high, drunk. You want to get that spirit feel. That's why they call it spirits. Like you want to feel. This is, you're not drinking. You don't drink wine for medicine like they did. But today, they're drinking it with alcohol and fermenting. They're drinking it for the purpose of being intoxicated. That's what the problem is. When many people, they who are doing those kind of things, they get in trouble because their mind is not sober. people who are doing a lot of these evil acts are being they're intoxicated by drugs, alcohol, or even prescription medication. But he said, but be filled with the Spirit. When be filled with something, be filled with the Spirit, the Word of God. Fill it up. Fill up your tank with the Word of God. Speak yourself in Psalms and hymns. When you talk to yourself, sing it. Talk to yourself when you're praying. Sing spiritual songs. Make that melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what you'd rather than, get away from some of the worldly songs and things you're listening to on the radio and start singing some good spiritual songs, something that's going to put some good information in your mind. That's a problem with a lot of Christians. They listen to the radio station and take them back to their old way of living. And next thing you know, you're still jamming, you're still rocking and rolling and singing and thinking and all that, and going back in time. Yeah, going back in time. What it once was. And so, man, you want to think, he said, the way you do, you be filled with the Spirit, or talking to yourself, but using songs, using hymns, spiritual songs, singing. Everybody can't sing like Brother Kirby. I'm not talking about singing pretty, we're talking about the lyrics that should affect your life. Like Brother Kirby always tell us, don't somebody pay attention to how I sing it, but listen to the words. They're spirit-filled words, the songs that are spiritual. They'll make you make melody in your heart. And you'll be so thankful that you're thanking God through singing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amazing grace. You praise the Lord for how good he's been. All hope is found in him. Our hope is built on nothing. All these songs that we sing, Mansion Road by the Crown, all the songs we sing, bring some melody in our hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and Father in his name, my Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. There it is. He says, what you do, you fill yourself with the Spirit. You sing to yourself. You may be under influence. You be under the influence of the Spirit. You're under influence of the Spirit. He said, drive down the influence. What influence are you driving on the influence? Yeah. I'm driving under the influence. It's okay to drive under the influence of Spirit because you're going to be doing things that are going to influence you. Those things that you're doing, you're influenced by the Spirit. You'll be singing. You'll be making melody. You'll be giving thanks to God. You'll be thanking you, Lord. You're singing that all the way to work. You're singing it all the way home for another great day. Singing it when you get your paycheck. Singing it when you pay your bills. Singing when you got a good husband. You're singing when you got a good wife. You just sing. Because God has been so good to you. Thank you, Lord. Then you submit yourself. Lastly, as follow God, you see what you're doing. You're subjecting yourself to be filled with the Spirit, to give thanks, to submit to in the fear of God. The duty we have is to fear God and keep his commandments. Subject ourselves to him. And we're going to get into next week when we subject ourselves to God, husbands and wives. We do all that next week. But this week, are you a follower of God? If you want to call today, I hope I touch your life, your life in a way to let you know that you can live a good life. You can live a good life. Christian life is not a boring life. It's a good life to live. And not only that, the reward is great. It's all this world. It's called heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you got to be a follower of God. And what must I do to be a follower of God? First of all, you got to believe in the Bible. Then you got to believe in God. You believe this book that the Bible teaches us in John 3:16, that God's love for us was demonstrated when he sent his son to die on the cross. He commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Christ came and he fulfilled God's will, his Father's will. He went through the horrible trials and all the people who said crucify him. All the false accusations. He went through this. They spit upon him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on him. He took all of that. He took all of that. He carried that tree of the cross to Calvary. There he was executed. He did it so we could all be followers of God. He did it for you and he did it for me. And he wants us to respond. God wants us to respond to the love of giving his only son. He wants us to respond to the love of his son giving his life. And he wants us to be followers of him. He wants us to follow him as dear children. These dear children, verse 1, are those who realize that God gave his best. And that his precious son. He dies on the cross so we can be his children, so we can be his dear children. And then so he just walked through here and said, here's what followers of Christ. Go back and listen to it. Look at all the things he said followers of God would be as dear children. If you want to call this thing, you want to be a child of God, believe. Number one, you must hear the gospel. Acts 15, verse 7, that's the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. On the cross, he shed his blood and washed his sins away. Number two, you got to believe that with all of your heart. That Jesus came, lived among men, and died, and was buried and rose again, shed the blood and washed your sins away. Number three, you got to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3. You got to repent. You got to make a change. Like I said, well, yeah, I mean, some stuff you got to make a decision to change and stop doing it. Number four, you got to be willing to confess Jesus to be the Son of God before me. And number five, you got to be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. It was commanded by Jesus himself. And he that believeth is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. Would you do that today? Would you be saved and be added to the one church, the only church you read about? That is the church called Acts 2 and verse 47. The Bible said, praise God and have faith with all the people in the Lord, added to the church daily, so you should be saved. Jesus said that all is going to be a few. Would you be in that number? Will you be a follower of God? Will you be a child of God? Will you be a follower as a dear child? Will dear children be obedient children? Obedient children are baptized for remission of sins. And then they follow. They're intoxicated with the Spirit. They're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That leads you to live a life that proves sinful things to be wrong. And you stand with God. If you're on the call today, you desire us to pray with you for something you're going through, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. If you desire to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone. If we can pray with you, pray for you, maybe going through something, you may be a child of God, you're going through illness, sickness, you're going through issues in your life. If that be you, you want us to pray, let us pray for you. The eyes of the Lord open righteous, and his ears open to prayer. If you're visiting with us, and you want to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone. We want you to do that. Yeah, let me sing a song of encouragement.